Hello, my name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and today I'm going to talk to you on this podcast about FRS 11 on impairment of fixed assets and goodwill. Let's start with the basics then. What's an impairment? Well, an impairment's a permanent fall in the value of a fixed asset or goodwill. Although I have to point out, it is possible to have a reversal of an impairment. The second thing is, with an impairment, we could be talking about an individual asset that's been impaired, or we could be talking about a group of assets in a whole business. And really, I'm going to focus in this podcast on what happens when we have an impairment of a whole business. You'll appreciate why as we go through the podcast. So let's have a look at the rules. When do we need to do an impairment? There's two situations. First of all, we may have to do an impairment review even where there's no indication of impairment. And those situations are, first of all, where we have intangibles with an indefinite life. Secondly, where we have intangibles not ready for use yet. And thirdly, where we have assets with a useful life of greater than 50 years. Let's look at the first of those situations again, where we have intangibles with an indefinite life. That would be, for example, where we had goodwill that had an indefinite life. So goodwill that we weren't amortising. In that situation, we would have to do an impairment review of that goodwill every single year. And what that actually means, practically speaking, is we'd have to do an impairment review of the business, that's the whole business, that the goodwill was sitting in. So where we don't have any impairment indicator, but we have an intangible, like goodwill, with an indefinite life, we have to do an impairment review every year. The second situation where we do an impairment review is where we have an impairment indicator. Now, there's a list of impairment indicators, which I'll go through with you now. First of all, an impairment indicator would be where we have a significant decline in the market value of an asset. That could be an individual asset. Secondly, where we have the obsolescence or physical damage to an individual asset. So those first two situations deal with impairments of individual assets. The next three situations deal with impairments of the business as a whole. So where we have a significant reorganization within a business, that could indicate that there's been an impairment of the business. Where we have a major loss of key employees, that could indicate an impairment to the business. For example, if the managing director or some other key member of staff left the business. And next, where there's an adverse change in either the business or the marketplace or the statutory or regulatory environment or any other indicator of value. So those are the impairment indicators. As I said, some of them cover indicators over individual assets and some of them relate to the business as a whole. So we do impairments sometimes where there's no indication of impairment and sometimes where there are impairment indicators. The next thing we need to consider is how do we do an impairment review? So where there's been either an impairment indicator or where we've got a situation where we're having to do an impairment review annually, what does an impairment review entail? Well, first of all, we would look at the carrying amount of the asset or the group of assets. And we would compare that carrying amount to the recoverable amount of the asset or the group of assets. What do we mean by recoverable amount? Well, recoverable amount is the higher of the net realizable value. That's what we could get for selling it, less any selling costs, of course. And the value in use. What does that mean? Well, the value in use is what we can get from continuing to use the asset or group of assets. How could we work that out? Well, we'd probably do a discounted cash flow and work out the net present value of the asset or the group of assets. So we're going to compare the carrying amount of the asset or group of assets to their recoverable amount. And the recoverable amount is the higher of the net realizable value and the value in use. Usually that recoverable amount, the higher of the two values, will be the value in use. So usually in an impairment review, we're comparing the carrying amount of the asset or group of assets, that's the value that they're in the books at the moment, to the value in use of those assets. Next point on this is that we would do that for each income generating unit within the business. What does that mean? Well, let's say that we had a retail business, and that retail business had a number of shops, and that retail business is going through an economic recession. The economic recession would be a change in the market and therefore an impairment indicator. And what that retail group would have to do is look at each of its income generating units and carry out an impairment review for each of those income generating units. Now, it may be that that retail group has a number of shops in the United Kingdom, and it may have a number of shops in, let's say, Spain. And so it may decide that the income generating unit is the United Kingdom and another income generating unit is Spain. And so it would carry out separate impairment reviews over those two separate income generating units. Okay, that's how we carry out an impairment review. So let's say, little example, we carried out an impairment review, and I'm going to put some numbers to it now. And we had a business with a carrying value of £2.1 million. A review had been carried out, and we had discovered that those same assets, that same business, had a net realizable value of £1.9 million. And it had a value in use of £2 million. So, what would we do in that situation? Well, we would compare the carrying value to the recoverable amount. What's the recoverable amount here? Well, the recoverable amount would be the higher of the net realizable value and the value in use. The higher of those two would be the value in use at 2 million, greater than the net realizable value at 1.9 million. We would then compare the 2 million value in use to the carrying value of 2.1 million. Clearly there, the value in use is less than the carrying value by 0.1 million, and we'd have to write off that 0.1 million. That brings us to the final section here. That write-off of 0.1 million, where would it go? So in this last little bit, we're going to look at the allocation of impairment losses. Following on from the last example, we had an impairment of 0.1 million in that example. Where would we write that 0.1 million off? Where would the debit and credit go? Well, the debit would go to the profit and loss account. Where would the credit go? Which assets would we write it off against? Well, there's a specific order of assets. First of all, we'd write it off against any asset that we knew had been specifically impaired. So if we knew, for example, that an asset had been damaged, then we would write the 0.1 million or some of it off against that asset. Secondly, if we still had part of the 0.1 million to write off, we'd write it off against any goodwill that there was in the business. Thirdly, if there was still part of the 0.1 million to write off, we'd write it off against any other intangibles that there were in the business. And lastly, if there was still some of that impairment that needed writing off, we'd write it off pro rata amongst the remaining fixed assets of the business. Okay, so that's impairments. Three things to consider then. First of all, when do we need to do an impairment review? Sometimes we need to do an impairment review even though there are no impairment indicators. And sometimes we need to do an impairment review when there are impairment indicators. Secondly, what does an impairment review look like? How do we actually carry out an impairment review? And thirdly, if we do have an impairment, once we've carried out our impairment review, where do we allocate that impairment? Those are the three things to consider. And that's the end of this short presentation on impairments. Thank you very much for listening. My name's Steve Carlisle. Bye-bye.